Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. Now, you know we would love to hear from you, so today we are taking your questions and your comments. You're watching It's Monday, We're Here. Give us a jingle, 1-800-221-9460. If you are calling and you are outside North America, you can reach us at 205-271-2980, and you can always send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com, and check us out on Facebook. So last week we put out this beautiful question for you. What does the sacrificial love of Christ look like in your relationships? As Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And that's from John 13:34. So sacrificial love, the beauty of Jesus giving up his whole life, great sacrifices that he made for us, that you and I might have life. And so he's the beautiful witness of that, to say, I'm not just going to be partly in, I'm going to be all in. Yeah. And we have that example and the beautiful witness of when all of us get married and we have that great scripture verse, you know, love is patient, love is kind, from Corinthians. We all get married in front of, if you get married in the Catholic Church, there's a cross right before you. And you have to take up your cross, and that is marriage, die to yourself and live for the other. That's right. And that happens with God's great grace and mercy. And then, by God's great grace and mercy, you have life and you have it abundantly. And then you fall in love with your spouse, and your spouse falls in love with you. And then also, marriage makes you holy. Jim is making me holy, and I know that I'm making him holy. And that's the beauty of the journey. Yeah. So it's sacrificial. You're all in. You die to yourself. What you think is so important isn't so important when you have to concentrate on the relationship and listen with the ears of your heart to the other.
Let's say the question again. What does the sacrificial love of Christ look like in your relationships? What does agape look like in your relationships? What comes to mind for you? Who comes to mind that epitomizes the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ for you? They may not be living any longer. It may be your mom, your dad, your grandparent. Who was it that manifested these words of agape, of the cross? Who comes to you? What examples were there in your life that this person epitomizes what you were saying? Maybe it's parents caring for special need children, and you observed them and you said, this is the love of God. Maybe it's accompanying somebody through a terrible situation. Maybe it's an unplanned pregnancy. Maybe you find out a family member has had an abortion, and now they're saying this, and you manifest the merciful love of Jesus Christ to them, or that happened to you when you confessed your sin. So what's the example? Who's the priests in the confessional listening? What comes to you? Who manifests to you? Who makes visible to you the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ down through your history, and how have you manifested that to others? Love one another as I have loved you. 1-800-221-9460. 1-800-221-9460. 205-271-2980. Give us a call now, or email us, or Facebook us. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Yeah. Welcome back. Well, remember that we're taking your comments and questions on our show today. So if you're watching, it's Monday and we are here very alive. Give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. Outside North America, 205-271-2980. And you can always send us an email with your comment or your question to Jim and Joy at EWTN.com and check us out on Facebook. So this is the question. What does sacrificial love of Christ look like in your relationship? As Jesus said, love one another as I've loved you. And for me, I've had a beautiful witness of my parents who I wasn't raised in a Christian home where we went to church and I was formed in faith in that kind of way. But my parents gave up their lives for, I watched it, gave up their lives for each other and for their children every single day.
I mean, eight
kids, and I watched it. And so when I got married and I had a conversion, which was beautiful, I had a conversion at the age of 17, 18, then Jesus got a hold of Joy, and that was really, really good. But I had the foundation of a witness of parents of sacrificial love, just loving unconditionally, showing you how to serve, you know, in ways of just giving up your life for the other and not being, as so many in our culture today are, selfish. My parents were selfless. Jesus was selfless. And so having that witness and then the conversion and the love for Jesus, it made for a good recipe for me, hopefully, to be a good wife to Jim and to be a good mother to my children and a good mother-in-law and a good Nona. But you have to see it. You have to let someone see it and pray that you would be that person for somebody else on their journey of life.
And they're reminding us that this Thursday, the 22nd, is the Feast of the Queenship of Mary. Go to EWTN.com/Queenship of Mary for the free ebook. And it's really wonderful how EWTN equips us for these various feast days and saints' days. Well, you know, this question, I hope that you'll respond. Who comes to you when you think about this? So it's good to meditate upon it, even if you don't communicate with us today, to be thinking about who is it that showed me? Who is it who I've shown the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ to? And so you're sharing about your parents. My father came to mind. So I'm getting all these visitations from people living and dead who manifested the love of Christ. And my father, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, getting up, delivering milk, providing for his family, loses his wife, my mother, at an early age. He's got some little kids that are left behind. 2 others are out. And his faithfulness, his love, you know, is just amazing. He was the face of agape, of sacrificial love. And then all my mother's sisters and my own sister, Camille, my other sister, all these women who came into my life showing me the love of Jesus Christ, who didn't want anything from me but me, who wanted to come in to this young boy who lost a mother. That was the love of Jesus Christ coming to me, that they would affirm my life, that they would help me to make sense out of this loss of my mother that didn't seem to make any sense at all, my Aunt Anna in particular, that took these sufferings and said, this is what's going to take place in your life because you've lost your mother. And so who is it? Who is it who comes to you? Who are those that manifest themselves to you, that show you the love of Christ? And how are you doing that for others? Comment.
Well, here's a comment. It says, as silly as it sounds, one way I try to live out sacrificial love is by never criticizing or complaining about my wife's choices in music on our car rides. We have very different tastes, but I offer it up since her enjoyment makes me happy. This is Travis.
Travis gave his name, the wife might find out, so I don't know.
No, but, and the deal, it's right. Those are just little things. Now, we have the beautiful witness of our Blessed Mother, of Saint Joseph. Both of them were sacrificial in their love for one another. We have in our faith journey visible witnesses of people, right? So if maybe if you weren't raised by people who loved you or who showed you that, you never saw that, it's not your excuse to say, I don't have to do that because I didn't know that. No, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph have done that for you. Yeah. So many saints in the church have done that for you. And you just think of people in your life that you know, teachers and coaches and people who just sacrificed and who wanted to make your life a blessing, which is a good thing. And then as we live, we need to be that to somebody else.
I keep thinking of foster care.
Yes.
And we didn't do foster care, but I know foster care parents. And that's a manifestation of the sacrificial love of Christ. I'm thinking about St. Joseph, who in a sense was the foster father of Jesus. He was truly a father as well, not biological. He's like the ultimate foster father that came in. What a terrible, joyful burden it was for him to be the earthly father, foster father of Jesus Christ, God with skin, God made poor, God with a face. It was terribly wonderful.
Yeah.
And so the work of foster care is tremendous. Adoption. Go ahead.
I had a conversation with a business associate, and she was commenting on our ministry. We're doing a business transaction. And she said, oh, I thank you for your ministry. And, you know, Jim and I run a pregnancy medical center in downtown Birmingham. And she had foster cared. She had done two. She adopted two. But she had let 128 children come through her home to just love them and give them a refuge from the chaos that they may have found themselves in. One person, she said there were 128 lives of children that came through her home in the course of like 20-something years. And then, if it didn't get any better than that, her daughter now, that weekend, was being certified to do foster parenting and then hopefully a foster to adopt also.
So that's what the love of Jesus Christ looks like when it shows up. Do you see those people? Are we doing that? Can we take in one child, have a special relationship with some child somewhere that they might know some sense of family? Because that's what we're yearning for, that sense of family. Mm-hmm. And again, all special needs children, special needs of a spouse that was always healthy but now has had a stroke or whatever else is going on. You know, are we there?
Or a parent,
in the midst of
or a brother or a sister.
Absolutely.
There are so many ways that we can love and care and be a witness. And not even be aware that we're being a witness. We're just easily just loving because that's the right thing to do.
The left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. You just kind of do those things. And I want to say something. I want to read that portion of that love chapter. These ways, just in relationships, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. These are ways to manifest the love of the Lord working in it through you. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love endures all things. Somebody has to do that for somebody else. You do that for me. You manifest so many of those virtues, really. You really do. To me, to your children, your grandchildren, the woman you're women you're counseling, many of whom come and say they really believe abortion is the only option. You listen to the stories, you listen to their faulty reasoning, and for some reason, you know, you don't judge them quickly. You just kind of listen and you empathize, and somehow you connect with black people, white people, 13-year-olds, 40-year-olds, women pregnant, going through crisis pregnancy, some who've had abortions, and you're there with them. And it's such a grace that God's given you. This is a manifestation of the love of Christ. We need to see Christ in other people. And you really, you do that so beautifully.
And you do that for me, my beloved. You protect me. Jim is a great protector. And he provides very well for me. And
I make you coffee every morning. That's why you're saying all these things.
You make me coffee every morning. But you know what Jim does? Jim listens to my heart. You know, sometimes the best thing we could do for a friend, for a mother, for a father, for a brother or sister, is to listen. Just listen to their heart. And not impose your views, impose your beliefs, impose your attitudes, but propose a way to change, to say, maybe just change the way you're thinking about that. Let me just say this, which is helpful because then it just makes for a beautiful avenue of communication.
You know, and Jesus says, you know, what is it to you, to us, if you love people that love you, that are kind to you, that are nice to you? It's really what you're doing with those that put you off. And they could be in your house, it could be your spouse, it could be whatever.
Right.
You know, I remember this, we were traveling on a flight and this girl sat next to me. And I mean, she didn't smell very good. She was, you know, had everything all over with the tattoos and rings and everything. And you were sitting on this side, I was right next to this person. And you looked at me immediately, because you know I was kind of like, what's going, you know, what is this about? And you said, that's someone's daughter. And I said, you know, that's the perspective. That's why I married you, you know? And so we just have to say, this is a child of God. And they have parents. It's whatever's going on in this person's life, those are the ones we need the agape love of God to say, Lord, I don't, grace, manifest grace in and through me. Help me to see differently. Help me to see how you see. Help me not to look at people except through your mediation, to seek your face in them. Had this happen recently at another place where I was, and this is really a hardcore kind of guy that really put me off in a lot of ways, a place where I work out and stuff. And I had to start seeing. I saw a little child in this guy, and I said, well, even though he's a roughneck, as a matter of fact, I said, that scripture verse, Ishmael was a man who was a wild ass of a man. He was that kind of guy. And so I'm in this place working out, and one day he says to me, how do you know if you hear God, this guy who's wild? How do you know you hear God? Because I think I'm hearing God. He said, I should be dead, but I'm living. God must have a purpose for me. Now, I could have judged the guy. I could have said, you know, pick up your clothes that you leave all over the place and do this. But it's like, wait on the Lord. That's love, the agape love of God. Know where you came from and bring people along to Jesus Christ. So let's meditate upon that question. Who are those who've shown the love of Christ to me, and how am I showing it to others? We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, before we wrap up today's show, we're going to go to Rome to check in with beautiful Joan Lewis. Now, Joan's going to be sharing with us how quiet and peaceful Italy remains in the weeks surrounding the Feast of the Assumption. How lovely.
Well, greetings from Rome at one of the most important times of the year, Ferragosto. Now, that's a term that used to be referred to pagan games in Rome. But today it's synonymous with the August 15th Feast of the Solemnity of the Assumption of Mary, and also actually refers to the entire month-long period of holidays in Italy. And by the way, the Assunta, the Feast of the Assumption, it is very important to know that for a long time, this was a tenet almost of the faith. People felt that Mary and believed that she had been assumed into heaven body and soul. And from the 13th century on, it was kind of a tenet. And then in 1950, Pope Pius XII declared infallibly and ex cathedra that this was indeed a tenet of the faith. And by the way, the important thing is, 1950 was the last time a pope has infallibly declared something ex cathedra. Now, to talk about Ferragosto, I have to say, you really have to live here. It's not just, it's a state of mind as well as a tradition. Now, tourists, they come to Rome, they're not going to notice anything in August. They're going to do what tourists do. They tour monuments, churches, have great meals, etc. But I have to say, if you're a resident, life changes dramatically. The pace gets very, very slow. As the major cities of Italy vacate, people going to their homes in the mountains or at the seashore. And what you'll see a lot of in neighborhoods are chiuso per ferie, closed for holiday signs. They're going to be on all kinds of stores, some restaurants and bars, newsstands, tobacco stores, movie theaters, places I haven't even thought of to name. So what is lovely in a way is that the business owner and all of his staff go away, and sometimes for several weeks at a time. And I have to say that in my neighborhood, except for some restaurants, the closures are so great that it's as if an air raid siren had gone off. People disappearing, things getting very, very quiet. Now, I must say that if you live here, you know that in August, you have to have a backup plan for buying groceries, things for your house, etc. And by the way, folks, if you happen to need a handyman, you could be out of luck, although someone is always available for some kind of an emergency. By the way, many pharmacies close, but pharmacies will post on their shutter the address and opening hours of the pharmacy nearest to them, so you won't be completely without whatever you need. Now, life in the Vatican is also kind of extra slow. This is a period when so many of the employees, being Italian especially, you have to understand, August is vacation time for Italians. And so what you have is you have the Vatican stores, the pharmacy, the medical center. For several months, excuse me, they all have reduced hours because so many employees are away. They're away for a month. Now, you just have to spend a Ferragosto in Italy to truly understand what I'm talking about, because it's going to be unlike anything any of you might have experienced in the States or even in the UK. My personal opinion, aside from the terrible heat that will invade the summer months, I love Rome. It is so quiet. It is so empty. The fact that there are fewer cars means fewer honking horns, fewer sirens, and what I love most of all, there are fewer motorbikes. It's absolutely wonderful. So I've never had a car here. I've always walked. I've taken buses, and when needed, I take a taxi. Oh, and speaking of buses, by the way, often there are more seats available, and that is no small thing. So I just want to close with a tribute, a salute to Italians for how they celebrate vacation time. Way to go. On that note, back to you.
Joan, thanks so much for that wonderful report and bringing us into that world of Rome around that time and season. How are you manifesting the love of Jesus Christ in your relationship? Say, Lord Jesus, live your life out in and through me. Make the invisible within me visible. Make my face shine like the face of St. Stephen and of Jesus to others. God bless you. Keep it on EWTN. Bye now.